Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. We are on our way to discover that we know who God is only because God reveals himself to us. We would not know God if it were not for God teaching us about himself. And on our way to this rich discovery in the Bible, we have moved out on a short excursion to ask a question related to our study. Since we are talking about our knowledge of God, I feel here is an appropriate time to insert a brief discussion about epistemology. Epistemology is the study of the nature, origins, and limits of human knowledge, or we can say epistemology is the theory of knowledge. Epistemology is what philosophers deal with, and so here is that question. Is there any use for philosophy in theology? That is, as we study God, can philosophy be a useful discipline for us? The answer, I think, depends on how we use philosophy. Last time we talked about how Christians can safely use philosophy, and I sounded some warnings for us in its use. We ended with the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at ancient Colossae. In the second chapter of his epistle to the Colossians, verse 8, Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Well, this certainly is a command that we need to adhere to. By saying this, I do not perceive Paul to be anti-philosophy as a hard and fast rule, and I will tell you why in a moment. What I think the apostle is saying in this verse is that we are not to appeal to human-generated teaching, human philosophy, these traditions of men and elementary principles of the world, to solve the world's questions and problems. We are to appeal to Jesus Christ. Men and women sure do love to use our supposed wisdom and smarts to wrestle with and to answer the deepest questions and turmoil in life. And yet we disregard and dismiss Christ. While we think of ourselves most intelligent, in reality, when we fail to draw our wisdom from God, then we are fools. Paul the Apostle will wholeheartedly agree with what we said last time. We must be discerning and make certain that sound doctrine, our theology, is the master and philosophy is only our servant. There are a lot of philosophies floating around our culture today. If we had more time, we could get into those and refute them from the scripture, but that is not really the focus of our discussion. In Paul's day, in Colossae, there was what was called the Colossian heresy. This was a philosophy, an empty deception, a thinking developed according to a tradition of men, using the elementary principles, that is, the simplistic ideologies of false teachers, used to draw Christians away from a proper understanding of who Christ is. This heresy mixed together quite a few different elements, from Gnosticism to Jewish legalism to rigid asceticism. It developed a secret higher knowledge that put it above Scripture, and it included the worship of angels and mystical experiences, and it was attacking the church. And it is in this context that Paul writes this stern warning, and I take it as a command to reject that specific philosophy and to wisely reject other man and woman-made philosophies and ideologies. And yet, Paul himself was a good philosopher. This was part of his own ministry. So let's look at a few examples of how Paul and the right philosophy worked well together. And certainly, let's see that Paul was not afraid to engage in conversation with philosophers and their philosophies. In Acts chapter 17, I will begin the reading at verse 16 and go down to verse 24. This is Acts 17, verses 16 through 24. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What would this idle babbler wish to say?" Others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth." And so Paul begins his preaching, and I encourage you to read the rest of what he says tonight. You will find this compelling teaching in Acts chapter 17. And this will include Paul quoting some of these philosophers' own poets in verse 28. You see, Paul picked up on their philosophies, and he argued against them using the true philosophy of Christ and of God. The Epicurean philosophy did not deny God's existence, but they did deny that he was involved in our human affairs. And the Stoic philosophy taught the mastery of the self, reaching an indifference to pleasure or pain. Equally, no place for God. So that was the very bad philosophy that Paul argued against there at Athens. Another example of St. Paul and his use of good philosophy, good theology, against the use of bad philosophy, is in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Romans 1, this outstanding and very relevant chapter to the book of Romans and really the whole Bible, in which Paul addresses a culture that is ungodly and unrighteous, and for which the wrath of God has come. We just have time for verses 21 and 22. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." You heard him. Futile speculations, foolish hearts, professing to be wise. This is bad philosophy. Francis Turretin says, "The apostle does not condemn true philosophy, but only its abuse. Nor does he speak of philosophy, but of philosophers, who, puffed up with an empty opinion of their wisdom, became vain in their imaginations." So when he disputes at Athens, Acts 17:18, against the Stoics and Epicureans, he does not reject philosophy in itself, but only the doctrines of those philosophers who opposed the belief in the one true God, Jesus Christ, and in the resurrection of the dead. End quote. So philosophy can be a good discipline from which to draw in developing our theology. I think drawing on epistemology, for example, is wise. But we should be like the Apostle Paul and differentiate clearly between that which is right and that which is wrong and needs to be corrected. And we must be discerning in our use of philosophy. I go back to Colossians 2, verse 8. The Apostle says we are not to appeal to human philosophy, we are to appeal to Jesus Christ. And that is what we will do as we continue to learn that God reveals himself. Our excursion into philosophy ends here for now. And I want to leave you with more of the Apostle Paul's words about not trusting in the supposed wisdom of this world and those who love to call themselves wise, like many philosophers do today. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me end by reading verses 20 through 30. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. God is wise. People are fools. Appeal to Christ, not to man, for your philosophy. And join us next time, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.